For current employees, it doesn't mean anything. For new employees who become TSP participants after the rules go in effect, which is probably early October of 2015, it means that if you come in, you're a new federal employee, and you become a TSP participant, and you don't make your own investment choice, you don't say, I'm going to invest 5% in these funds, you'll be auto-enrolled at 3% into the age-appropriate L fund. So we'll look at your birth date, and we'll figure out which fund would be appropriate for you. And we did that because we have been watching, since auto-enrollment started in 2010, we've been watching, and there is a cohort of people who are auto-enrolled into the G fund and who are sitting there. And the G fund may be appropriate for some people to be 100% in the G fund, but it's probably not appropriate for everybody. And so what we wanted to do was sort of make the plan design such that we're auto-enrolling you into an age-appropriate L fund. If you want to choose to go back into the G fund, that's your choice. We're not stopping anyone from doing that. But that's what sort of was the impetus for doing that. But for those people who are in the G fund, who were auto-enrolled, this bill does not apply to them. They will they will have the ability to make choices, but they won't be forced or auto into another fund.
So for those new employees who join in who are automatically rolled in the L fund, if they do nothing, are they going to be better off than they were?
Based on our review, yes. Their returns will be better, and their risk, while not negligible, their risk, because it's an asset allocation that is designed to reduce risk and increase returns, we feel that it's an appropriate investment choice for them.
So you have said that you expect to start offering this in October of next year. What will you be doing between now and then?
It's mostly programming changes. We have to, because what we'll be getting is Emily Kopp is a new TSP participant. We'll have her birth date, and we'll have to make sure that we're programming you to the L-2040 fund, the L-2030 fund, whatever the right fund is. And so as with every programming change, you know, you first of all, you have to make decisions. Okay, how are you going to split birthdays? July 1st, does that go this way or that way? So it's that, and then making sure, obviously, we can test it. So when we put it into place, it doesn't, like, blow up the system. That's always bad.
All right, so you've got a few months to get that going. When you were talking about this to the board earlier this morning, you made reference to the fact that this was one down.
Yes.
What's to go?
We don't know, but we're working on an initiative we're calling the New Participant Experience. We're doing a lot of research and a lot of review of what we currently do. And by summertime, early fall next year, we want to come out with, all right, this is where we want to go with our call centers. We want to maybe make them more proactive. We want them to be making outbound calls, and it's just not taking inbound calls. We may want to change our withdrawal options. We may want to look at how or whether we give advice. All of those questions are what we're wrestling with now. And if under certain scenarios, for example, if we want to make changes to the withdrawal options, that will require legislation. So we're doing big thinking now, and then out of that, we will have possibly some legislative initiatives.
You've already started to automate some things with the call centers, it sounds like, and you're finding savings along the way. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those discoveries that were mentioned at the meeting?
Yeah, what Tom Emsweiler referenced was, up until now, we've reset passwords via mail, the U.S. Postal Service, which is a huge pain point for our participants, and we're well aware of that. And what we have started with a soft rollout is being able to change your password by calling our call center. So if you go on, you get locked out, or your password doesn't work, you can call our call center. They can give you a reset, stay on the line, walk you through so you can get into your account. The reason we did that was to reduce the pain for our participants. But as you heard Tom say, we're saving 53 cents every time we're not having to mail out a new password. So it's roughly $200,000 a year that we will be saving once this is fully rolled out. Again, not the reason we did it, but a nice byproduct.
Except for the Postal Service, who could use your money.
Well, that is very true. As a former postal employee, I feel their pain. But nonetheless, you know, our participants' pain is more important to us.
And just a quick recap of the participant in the investment reports?
November was a positive month for all the funds. And December, there has been a retreat. And last week specifically, there was a big fall. And so the C fund is down about 3%. The S fund is down roughly 3%. And the I fund is down roughly 4.5% so far to date in the month of December. However, this morning, before I came into the board meeting, things were trending up. So mid-month, it's hard to know how the month is going to end out.
You achieved a few benchmarks in terms of participation over the last month or so in terms of the Roth funds and some other things. Can you tell me briefly about that?
Yeah, our Roth funds, we now have $2 billion that are invested in the Roth funds. And since we just rolled that out in May of 2012, we expected that this would take a little longer for people to adopt, but it has been even more popular than we thought it was going to be. So I said we have $2 billion, and the average account balance for uniform services is just over $3,000. And we anticipated that uniform services would be the ones most interested in Roth, and that is, in fact, what has happened. The number of uniform services participating in Roth is quite high.
Do you know why?
Because for the most part, you've got younger employees who are lower paid and for whom the tax deferral of the regular TSP, they don't have enough income to make the tax deferral worth their while. So putting in after-tax money into the Roth TSP and allowing it to grow, in 30 years, they'll be able to take that money out tax-free when they retire. It's a great benefit for them.